Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's bring in James. Don't mind us, James. You know, 27-point loss, just working out some hypothetical trade scenarios here, having our daily conversation about De'Aaron Fox and all those different types of things. We'll get to De'Aaron. James Hamm, 1320 Kings Insider, joining us in the fantastic creator of the Kings Beat, both the podcast and the newsletter, which is where I want to start with the Sunday newsletter that went out, and you wrote about Marvin Bagley. At least I think it was Sunday. I've lost track of days. Might not have been Sunday, but you wrote about Marvin Bagley. Kenny and I were talking about this earlier. Is Marvin getting a legitimate chance with Alvin Gentry, a chance that maybe he didn't get with Luke Walton, but is he getting a legitimate chance to contribute with Alvin Gentry?
I think what we're seeing here is pretty clear. Alvin Gentry is dealing with the fact that he's missing two of his major, major starters. There's no way to make up for a guy like Harrison Barnes with one person on this team. They don't have that one person. And even if they did, that one person is probably Mo Harkless, who is also injured.
Yeah.
And so I want to say, yes, I find it comical a little bit. I'm watching it play out and people are yelling and screaming. See, you know, Alvin Gentry is finally giving people a shot. And it's like, well, no, he has to give people a shot because he's missing Rashawn Holmes and Marvin Bagley. And Harrison Barnes and Mo Harkless. That's why we're seeing all of this change. And then they've got kicked in a couple of times. And when that happens, then you go deeper to the bench. So, the fact that Luke King played because they got blown out. The fact that, you know, Jamias Ramsey played or the Damian Jones, he might be the one guy that you say, okay, he got a shot where maybe someone else wouldn't have. But outside of that, we've kind of seen almost the same exact rotations that Luke Walton would have had, except for Luke Walton had a full roster of players.
So let me ask this then. Once again, is he getting a real shot in your opinion, like Marvin, or is this just out of necessity?
No, I think he's getting a shot, but I think both of those can be, you know, true. Mm-hmm. He's getting a real shot, but he's also getting a real shot because it's out of necessity. So when Harrison comes back, Marvin Bagley will go from playing, 34 minutes one night to playing 18. Or there could be nights where he plays 15 or 12. Like, he's going to be the backup power forward. That's what he still is. The only difference is now the guy in front of him is Chimezie Metu, who, hasn't shot the ball well and has struggled a little bit himself. And he's opened the door for Marvin to play more minutes. So I don't think that this is – he is getting an opportunity. And the thing that I'll point out, and I mentioned this in my Sunday Musings column, which is something that I wrote for years and years, but then it went away when I went somewhere else. And then now it's back. And it's one of those columns that I kind of freeform and write from my opinion and also just from my knowledge of what's happening. But they're usually slightly more personal. And I think, the thing that struck out, my wife has to edit all of my work. And my wife is an attorney. So I have a very good editor, just so you know. But she's the one who has to edit all of my work. And I had a line right in the middle. And to me, it really does feel like Marvin Bagley, he tried to skip a step. He went from trying to be he just wants to be great,
mm-hmm.
but he never tried to be good. And so mm-hmm. he never got good. And so we never got to that step where he was good. And now I think we're finally seeing the moment where Marvin is slowing down and becoming more of a basketball player and less of a prospect. And I think that's tremendous for everyone involved. I'm happy for Marvin because this doesn't always happen. Like, I've covered so many young players in Sacramento and they all think that they're the next Michael Jordan or the next Kobe Bryant. And it doesn't come until it's way too late that they figure out that they're not. And, you know, even like I remember Omri Caspi telling me, it wasn't until he's like, I left here. I went to Cleveland. Then I went to Houston and Kevin McHale pulled me aside and said, look, if you're going to make it in this league, if you're going to be an NBA player, then this is what you have to do. You have got to do exactly what I say. You've got to stand in the corner and wait for your shot. You've got to run and get out to the wings on the fast break. You're not going to be a 20 points per game guy or a 14 points per game guy. If you get to 10, it's because you got to the free throw line once. You hit three threes and maybe you got to the line once. He's like, but, you know, this is who we need you to be. And so many players, it takes so long to figure that out. And I think at this point, it's possible that the light bulb has gone on with Marvin Bagley. And sort of the barometer that I saw was he's barely played and he had 4 assists the other night. That's his career high. He tied his career high from his rookie season where he had 4 assists in one other game. But that shows you that Marvin is starting to look at the floor. He's starting to look for his teammates. He's not just going into the post, raising his left hand and demanding that you give him the ball while getting in the way of everything they're trying to do. He's playing basketball. And to me, that's a huge, huge thing for Bagley and his development moving forward.
He's played in really impactful minutes too. I mean, obviously the he had the huge shot against Portland, and then he was a big part of the able bodies that were able to play against Los Angeles. He was a big mm-hmm. part of that, and I don't feel like it, at any stretch of that game did he let Alvin Gentry or his teammates down. I thought he was a strong contributor in both the Portland game and the Lakers game.
Well, the Lakers game specifically, when have we ever seen any coach say, okay, Marvin, I need you to go guard LeBron James or Anthony Davis?
Mm-hmm.
That's just never happened. And it hasn't happened because every other coach is like, well, that ain't happening. Like, why would I possibly put not only Marvin in a position to fail, but myself? Because mm-hmm. most of the time you are going to fail in that situation. But then you look up and it's just a different Marvin Bagley. It's not the guy who's going out there hunting for stats. It's a guy who's going out there and trying to fit in and trying to win games. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had a couple of rebounds that were just ferocious. And I felt bad for him because it was a Portland game, right, where he had the turnover where he had just an incredible rebound. And then he got stuck under the basket and he double dribbled. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't for a lack of effort. Everything he did was right, except for he was too amped up and he made the wrong play at the end. I'll take that every single step of the way because that is not who he's been in the past. And so I'm happy that this is happening for him. I don't know what it means for his future with the Kings, but I certainly I know that it means that his future in the league is not nearly as bleak as it was 2 weeks ago because it was pretty bleak. Like a guy who only scores and rebounds but does nothing in between has very, very little value.
Yeah. Kenny, I don't think James was talking about Memphis. We'll teach you the Memphis Bleak reference later. Not the Memphis Grizzlies, Memphis Bleak. But it's a slow process, James. We're bringing you along slowly. We don't want to overwhelm you.
James, you talk about that game against the Blazers. I mean, that was a great moment. I thought personally when he hit that three to kind of seal the game, or we all thought seal the game in the corner. And just seeing the release from him, you know, after he hit that three, that was a really good moment. And the whole thing with Marvin Bagley, I feel, with this franchise is they could use him. Like, regardless of everything that's going on right now, there's still a hole at the four position. Like, they don't have a power forward that can do anything. Once again, I'm asking you questions that maybe you don't have to get into people's head, but do you see a scenario where he works himself back into that starting four spot right now?
Well, I certainly don't think that they're going to let him start 40 games because of the because of his qualifying offer. So, I mean, that in itself is, but we're only 20 games away from that, right? Yeah. So, I mean, we're already into the season. What is it, 21 games? So, look, is it possible? I'm never going to say anything is impossible. I'll also say this too: he didn't have kind words when he hit that three. His explosion there was very pointed and it was very angry. And I was excited for him to have that moment.
It wasn't at Portland that he was angry at.
No. I don't know how many people were in the building, but that's who it was aimed at.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And it was, you know, he had some friendly fire there. But at the same time, like, what do people expect? I mean, this kid's been, like, he's like an ant getting burnt under a magnifying glass for the last 4 years, you know? And so you finally have a moment and he got a little loose. He wouldn't talk about what he said, but I've heard what he said and it wasn't all that pleasant. So I'm happy for him to have that moment. But at the same time, look, this team is 8-13. They're going to try everything and anything. And that's what Alvin Gentry has to do. Mm-hmm. He has to sit there and try to get this team through this season, and he has to earn his coaching role for next season if that's what he wants, or if he can accomplish that. So if Marvin Bagley gives Alvin Gentry the best chance to succeed, then he's going to play. And as of right now, it's hard to argue that he's not giving you. If he does the dirty work, if he does the little things, if he sets hard screens, if he plays defense, even at an NBA average level, then I think you can play him a lot of minutes. And, you know, he's young, he's athletic. He still doesn't have a ceiling, but I think the floor has changed on him considerably. And so we're kind of at that point where he has to figure out how to play basketball, and we're starting to see him grow into that. And I hope that it continues and we don't see him go back to looking to be a 20-10 guy. Before you're a 20-10 guy, you need to be a player that can stay on the court, and not just health wise, but like literally someone that the coach can rely on to stay on the court.
Okay, I got to ask another question about Marvin Bagley. Then we'll dive into De'Aaron Fox and the team shooting woes and the disaster that was yesterday's game versus the Memphis Grizzlies. 1320 Kings insider James Hamm with us here. You can watch the show on twitch.tv/ESPN1320, youtube.com/ESPN1320. We welcome those listening on the Odyssey app and 1320 AM. We're coming back with more with James Hamm. He's our Kings insider, but it is a 49ers Monday brought to you by Gilmore Heating, Air, and Plumbing. Right now, Gilmore is offering Niner fans a $49 furnace safety inspection. Just mention this ad that you heard here on D'Lo and KC. More Kings talk on the way here on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC continues, streaming live on the Odyssey app.
Back here on this 49ers Monday, brought to you by City Center Financial. Refinance today below 1.99% APR at 1-866-GO-CITY-6. And our 1320 Kings insider, James Hamm, with us. I kind of want to put a bow on this Marvin Bagley conversation. You had mentioned the shot against Portland and his reaction to it. In your experience, you've been covering this team for a long time. Has the fan base, is Marvin Bagley the player they have most aggressively gone at? Because so much is made of Marvin's relationship with the fans. And I've always been like a little bit confused by that, but is it greater than anyone in the past that you can recall?
No, I mean, Kings fans always have one, you know, that they pick out. Yeah, they always have one that they pick out and they do this too. You know, it's just, that's like Willie Cauley Stein got a lot of this as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Willie never helped himself. Like Marvin doesn't help himself because he's got outside noise. And then, you know, of course he asked for the trade. But before that, Marvin hadn't really said anything that would cause you to b- believe that, you know, cause fans to go at him. Some fans get upset about him, you know, in his rap career. And I don't get that at all. Like at the end of the day, again, these guys have to have some sort of ice. All they do is eat, drink, and sleep basketball. They should be able to sit around and, you know, throw some bars if that's what they want to do. I mean, again, De'Aaron Fox, there's a time where he's playing like 14 hours a day of video games. So, I mean,
Willie Painted. Fault one guy? People hated that, like Willie Painted.
It's crazy.
You know, I think with Willie, there was just never, like, I always bring Willie back to this. Like, so many of us were athletes, right? That we always looked at that one huge, tremendous athlete that you played with, who was just so naturally good and big, and like he got to be the star because he was really big as like a 14-year-old and was like the number one guy walking into his freshman year and solidified himself as that moving forward. And you always have that, man, if I was only that tall or if I was only that big. I think so many athletes have that. And with Willie, I think that's what a lot of it was. Everyone just looked like, man, you have so many gifts, so many tools, and you just don't seem to care. And even when he had good moments, I remember he had that moment, the Kings beat Philadelphia, and I think Fox hit a jumper that won the game, and it was his rookie season. And he had a jumper in the middle of the key over, I think it was Covington, and it was a beautiful play. But Willie Cauley-Stein had a defensive stop against Joel Embiid the play before, and then the final play, he had a defensive stop. And we caught Willie in the hallway coming out, and we said, man, we were talking to him about his defense. And the only thing he wanted to do was compare himself to Kristaps Porzingis and how he could be the unicorn. And he, you know, he could score so many points if he was given the opportunity. And there was just no grasp of reality of, like, we're trying to, like, help you out here and give you props for having a great two defensive stops, and the first thing out of your mouth is that, you know, that you want to
score. I'm a unicorn too.
Yeah. And so it just really, really strange. And like that was always, there's always a disconnect. So no, Marvin's not the first that's dealt with this with Sacramento Kings fans. He won't be the last. A lot of fans have turned on De'Aaron at this point. You're starting to see that as well. So I think it's just sort of the nature of it. You know, especially with social media, everyone thinks they have a voice and they want to scream and yell. I mean, I have so many people screaming and yelling at me all the time about coaches, and I just want to mute them and block them. And then
You're a puppet, James.
It's like, what if you're wrong about everything that you're saying? I'm not going to hear you say that. You're not going to come back and say, my bad, James, I was wrong. It's just not what happens.
Nah, that never happens.
And then when they tell you how wrong that you are, they just disappear for like the next 3 weeks and wait for the particular player or coach to have a bad game before they come out. Like,
I told you.
All the buddy elite tweets have they fallen by the wayside over the course of the last few games.
Yeah, I've seen those. Yeah. You guys need to like drive to Temecula with some of these people. That's where we're at. Like, so crazy fans. It's weird. You know, you want to have this dialogue with fans. And I think if you text with me, people know that if you text with me, I usually do like GIFs back. Like I do like little video things back, or I do a lot of emojis. Hmm. I don't say a lot. And if I do, I call you because there's a lot of times where I'm driving. But I've gotten to that on Twitter too, where I'm speaking with like Oprah stuffs or you know, Oprah yelling at people or Alec Baldwin pouring whiskey into a glass that never empties. Yeah, one of the. So yeah, that's what you're gonna get from me from here on out, people. I'm not gonna deal with you.
That's how it is. Or you can just, this is what I do, James. In some cases, you just suspend people. They're suspended from talking basketball or boxing with me. They can look. I'm probably never gonna block anybody.
I block them.
I don't ever want you, whoever's doing it, to think that you got that far under my skin that I just gotta block. No, you ain't never gonna get blocked from me. I'll be right here. You can see my stuff. I'll see yours if I need to. And trust me, I see yours. All right. So I ain't going to block nothing. But when you at me, I don't have to respond. If it makes you feel better to try and get my attention, that's cool. I don't have to respond. Like, I don't have to respond. And you try to engage me in a conversation. No, you're suspended. You don't get to talk and go back and forth with me. You don't get that opportunity. That's just kind of how I go about it.
Yeah, I block people. I mean, not all the time, but when someone's offensive, I don't let racial epithets go on in my timeline. That just gets you an auto ban. I don't even want to see it. I don't even care if you're joking or what anything else. I don't care. And there are other things that get under my skin that people say or do, and it's like, okay, I'm just going to block you. I don't need that stress. You know, there's plenty of people out there in the Twitter universe that have positive souls. And then I don't want anyone sucking the soul out of me and making me, frustrate me. I'll just block you. If you don't want my Kings coverage, that's fine. Go find somewhere else, because I'll just block you and you won't be able to get it.
Where's that?
You'd be missing out on the best Kings coverage on the planet. Kings Beat. Of course, our 1320 Kings insider, James Hamm, here with us on ESPN 1320. I imagine De'Aaron's blocking a few people on social media right now. We were talking earlier about De'Aaron and kind of the goods and the bads, the pluses and the minuses of his season. It evolved into a deeper conversation of looking at his growth over the course of the last couple of years. But one thing that I pointed out, and it's my concern to me, and it's a big concern to me, and you're closer to them on a regular basis or a more regular basis than we are, it feels like De'Aaron's attitude has changed. At least that's the vibe, and I understand the difficulties of Zoom press conferences and those types of things, but it feels like De'Aaron's overall demeanor has changed. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, I think so, but I think that, number one, he got off to a really, really rough start, and then he's the guy that wore it when the Kings were losing all those games in a row. You know, he's the one that really struggled out of the gate. And so I don't know. I think part of it struggles. I think part of it is the here we go mentality. Here we go again. Mm-hmm. Because the Kings are right back in the same exact situation that they have been in past years. And you just can't keep talking and then not doing. And I think he gets that. And I mean, there are certain press conferences where his attitude is just shot and you're just like, oh boy, you know, here we go. But at the same time, I mean, Rashawn Holmes had one of those this last week as well, where, I mean, I raced down from my seat and by the time I got into the media room, he was finishing up and then that was it. We didn't talk to him. I mean, he was maybe 45 seconds of a press conference and it was an angry 45 seconds. And the people that were in the room weren't ready to handle his, like, where he was at and try to draw some more out of him. And so it's not just De'Aaron. I think we've had quite a few press conferences where, you know, either guys are really happy because they won or really angry because they lost. I mean, Tyrese Haliburton over the last couple of press conferences has taken upon himself to call out members of the media for questions that we've asked or things that we've said out, you know, whether it's written or on a podcast or, you know, just a question that someone asked of Luke Walton a month ago. And, you know, he's like, hey, how's my defense been? I'm just checking in. Is my defense been okay? to reporters. And then I had asked him months ago, well, not months ago, but at the beginning of the season, just like the chemistry between him and Fox looked off on the court. And now he thinks every time he sees me, he's got to ask me if his chemistry looks better.
I remember that.
It's like, well, does it? Does it really? Because you want me to be honest, like you've scored in single digits six of your last like nine games. So does it? Because I'm not sure that it does. So like this team still has chemistry issues on the court. They still haven't been able to string anything that's that productive together outside of the first, you know, nine games where they won five out of nine. Outside of that, it's been a mixed bag of bad and not so bad. And both of those have the word bad in them for the most part. I mean, they've got some wins, but nothing consistent. And so, yeah, they do still have chemistry issues and they need to figure them out.
And James, this goes into what I kind of wanted to ask you, because Wednesday against Portland, great atmosphere, very fun on Friday, thrilling win. But yesterday was so predictable. It was so predictable. And I know, you know, you'll say that, you know, these things happen in the NBA. Okay, that shouldn't happen. That shouldn't happen. Every time this group of guys that's been together for loosely for the last 2-3 years have an opportunity to seize a moment, or, you know, to take advantage of an opportunity, they fail to get it done. And I know it's only 4 games into the Gentry era or the next coach era, whatever it is, but this is the same team. This is the same team from 2019, 2020, before the pandemic. They play the same way. They have the same shortcomings. They have the same inconsistent nature. And until further notice, I don't see this changing with this particular group of players.
I don't disagree. No, I mean, unless there's some weird epiphany moment where they just put it all together. We saw it with the Charlotte game, right? Where all of a sudden every shot goes in and everything looks perfect and they're moving. Well, unless they have 8 of those games in a row, then I think we can say they are who we thought they are. They're the same exact team. And so, but when we look at Sunday, I'm not sure how anyone just walks into a game thinking, oh, the Sacramento Kings should walk into Memphis because they're missing Ja Morant and just thump them. Like, that's a good team. It's solid all the way through. I don't love a lot of their moves in the offseason, but that's still a solid team from top to bottom. And the Kings were also missing 3 starters, not just one. I mean, certainly it wasn't their best player, but they certainly were missing like their 2nd and their 3rd best player. And so those things do happen. It does happen at the NBA level where you have stinkers like that, especially after a tremendous emotional victory just 2 days earlier, where, you know, you go to triple overtime and somehow beat the Lakers. Mm-hmm. You just wish that it didn't happen so often. And I think the biggest problem is it's not that that game happened, because again, I'll keep saying it, those games happen. It's that the 8 out of 9 losses happened just a week earlier. That's when you start to go, this is just the same group. It's the same, you know, emotionally fragile group that loses more than they win. And until they prove us otherwise, then that's who they are. And should changes happen? Heck yeah, changes should happen. Changes should have happened this summer, but they didn't. And I can't force someone to make a trade. Doesn't matter how many times I say it or write it. If they don't want to make a trade, or they can't pull off a trade that makes sense for them, they're not going to. And so, like, I would like to say that I wish that this thing is going the right direction, but we have no idea. And that's why I kept telling you guys, it's not all on Walton, because if you think it's all on Walton, then what the heck happened on Sunday? It's just not. I mean, it's a combination of many things, and all of them lead to the same result.
You're listening to D'Lo and Casey on ESPN 1320 KIFM West Sacramento, an Odyssey station, and driven by our friends over at Lashers Elk Grove Dodge. It's 49ers Monday, brought to you by City Center Financial. Refinance today below 1.99% APR at 1-866. Go City 6. It feels like, and I recognize the stupidity of what I'm about to say, but it's like, if this team can't make shots, they can't adjust. Like, it feels like everything that this team does is solely based on, you mentioned the Charlotte game. We got to shoot 65% from the field. If we shoot 65% from the field, we're going to win games. But when those shots aren't falling in there, you know, what were they, 9 of 40-something or 7 of 40-something from 3 yesterday? They have no, like, answer. They have no backup plan. There's no plan B. It's like, we're going to hit 60, 70% of our shots in the first quarter, and that's how we're going to win games.
Yeah, I agree. The only one who seems to have that mechanism when things have gone totally south is Harrison Barnes, where he goes, oh man, we just can't hit a shot. I'm going to go to the rack and see if I can get to the line or score a bucket. He's the only one. And, you know, when they had, I'll go back to a couple of years ago, they had Zebo on the roster. And, you know, there was a lot of, you know, why is Zebo on this roster? And the fact was that if you need a shot to stop a 6-0 run, you feed Zebo and he comes away with a basket like 80% of the time. Like, he just goes into the post, he bullies somebody, he doesn't take his follow-away three-pointer or some weird jump shot. He understands that in that moment, I got to go get a bucket to stop this run. Mm-hmm. The Kings seemed, and since he left, they don't seem to have that one guy where it's like, okay, if we have that run, we got to stop it at six. So now a 6-0 run becomes an 11-0 run or a 14-2 run or a 21-3 run. That's how this team kind of operates. And it's because they don't have that mechanism that goes, oh, we're in trouble. We need to get to the basket. We need a high percentage shot now. And again, you could say they don't have the three-point shooters. They have plenty of three-point shooters. They aren't taking good three-point shots a lot of the time. They got some guys who are performing poorly that aren't living up to their expectations as three-point shooters. You got some guys who just won't shoot enough, which is a huge problem. This team is based around a spread offense where De'Aaron Fox is supposed to drive to the basket and find shooters all over the court. I mean, I don't think his assist numbers are way low, but I think they're low not just because he's not passing the ball as much, but because people just aren't hitting shots. This team is just really a poor shooting team. They're shooting they came into yesterday shooting like 33.3% from three. I don't even know what it is now, but it's got to be in the 32%. This team usually shoots around, you know, 37.5%, 38% from three as a team. This is a good three-point shooting team historically over the last few seasons, and now they're not. So if they're not hitting shots, you're right. They're a hot mess, and they don't have another answer, and they need to figure that out. That's as big as any other problem that they have. But you also have to have the players that can do that, and I don't think that they have a lot of players. They can go get you a bucket when you have to have one.
Any idea of when we might see Rashawn Holmes and Harrison Barnes back in the lineup?
I was really surprised that we did not see Rashawn Holmes on Sunday, but because I was told that he did not fly out with the team. So he wasn't in the team on the first game of the road trip, but there was hope that he would hop a plane on Saturday and get to Memphis. I think that told you he just was too sick to get on a plane. And I'm sure that now we're looking at 4 or 5 days. You know, this is the NBA. They pump these guys full of the best medicines possible. And, you know, colds that usually last for like 5 days for us last like 45 minutes for them.
And that's an important distinction in 2021 is he has a cold. He has a non-COVID-related illness.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had to tweet that multiple times, non-COVID-related illness. So his is just an illness. I expect him. It has nothing to do with his eye, which was the issue that he missed the first game of this stretch here. I expect him back in uniform. As far as Harrison Barnes, it's a foot sprain. They haven't given us much on Harrison, except for to say that the doctors keep telling him they don't think it's going to be long-term at all, and they're just waiting for him to feel better. And then it's a sore knee for Mo and travel and everything else. We'll have to see how that plays into it, the travel back home. His isn't expected to be long-term either. We'll have to see how it goes. But, it's definitely none of those guys are supposed to be out long-term. And we just have to wait and see if it's, you know, the next game or the game after. And I would assume that Holmes is much closer than Barnes.
I believe this is all your fault, James, because you said the one thing that the Kings couldn't handle this year is a loss of Harrison Barnes. So thanks, James.
Thanks, James.
And what are they? They're 1-1 without him, right? And, you know, they even won the game that he got hurt in. So it is my fault.
That's right. He did get hurt late in the Portland game, right? Is that the one where he got hurt?
Yeah. I saw it. He went up for a rebound or something and he didn't get the foul, but someone else got the foul right afterwards on the Kings. I mean, this team, they can't survive long-term without Harrison Barnes. They just don't have, even if you like what Marvin's doing or you like what Chemezi does, they cannot replace what he does. It's just the long and the short of it. He does too many things for this team, and you can get away with it for, you know, for 15 minutes here or there, you can't get away with it for five games or six games. You're going to lose a majority of those games.
It's a side note. You got to see the Lakers, you know, really lock into what's going on. Are they going to like stay in that play-in scenario the whole year? Because I don't think they're that good from, you know, what I saw on Friday night. And they got issues.
Yeah, they're poorly constructed. I mean, the Lakers team is totally poorly constructed. I'll be honest with you. I think they would have been better off just keeping Montrezl Harrell and Kyle Kuzma, you know, instead of trading for Russell Westbrook. That whole entire team is just a mess. That's what it looks like. And even the guys that they do have, it's they have guys that can shoot the ball, right? They've got Wayne Ellington. They've got Monk. They've got a bunch of guys hiding on the bench that can shoot the ball. They're just not playing them because they're not good enough at other things. Mm. And I almost wonder if that's part of, like, if you just let those guys play and get comfortable and find a role, then maybe you would be able to space the floor and do what you need to do. But the fact that Anthony Davis is like the worst jump shooter in the NBA right now, that's a problem. I mean, he just doesn't look anywhere near what he should look like. And, you know, the Lakers are a team that always feel like, oh, we'll just hit the switch. Where a team like the Warriors, like, they don't have an off switch. Right. They just go and go and go. I mean, have the Warriors didn't have enough talent the last 2 years. Yeah. Now you're looking at them and just watching them play and play and play, and they're so good. And it's because they look at the season as, you know, part of the playoffs. Like, this mm-hmm. is, if we want to be good, we want to have a high seed, we want to get to the right spot. And, you know, I just think the Lakers believe that they can turn it on and they can beat anybody. And, you know, maybe they're right. It's always possible.
I think the belief is LeBron and Anthony Davis, perhaps, but certainly LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, they're mentally tough teams. The Golden State Warriors are a mentally tough team. Kenny was talking about this with the Memphis Grizzlies as well. The Grizzlies are tough. We mm-hmm. thought all offseason that the Kings, like, they got tougher. They're not as weak as they used to be. And from a certain aspect, Mo Harkless step into Yusuf Nurkic, Chimezie Metu being a little bit stronger than he used to be. Like, they're tough in that regard, but it still feels like this team is mentally weak.
Well, it's just like the Lakers with 3-point shooting. Like, the tough guys on the Kings don't play. So that's a problem. You know, Tristan Thompson is a tough guy. I think he's been impressive even the last couple of times he's been out there. He's been impactful. I think he shot 3 of 9 from the free throw line, which was god awful. But outside of that, I mean, I thought he punished people and I would have liked to have seen more of him. But the problem that you have is that the guys that you do have that are tough, it's like Alex Len and Tristan Thompson are taking turns. So taking turns, one of them will play one game, one of them will play the next. Unless Rashawn Holmes is out, then you got to play them both. But for the most part, that's, you lose toughness when those guys are only playing 12 to 18 minutes a game and only one of them is playing. So I think the players on the court need to show more toughness for sure. But I'd also say maybe there's a point where, you know, a guy like Lou King, who is tough, maybe you do need to play him. Maybe you need to let him get physical with people. Terrence Davis is tough. Like, let him have some more time to get his shot going and find himself. He'll calm down. Right now, again, he looks like the old Ben McLemore windshield wiper defense thing. He's just flying all over the court back and forth, and he's out of position the whole time. Give him some time to settle in and calm down. And so that's where I think you find your toughness, is by playing the guys who actually are tough.
But James, and I agree with you, the issue, though, is the mental toughness. Like, they should have saw Memphis coming to play yesterday a mile away. And they shouldn't have been caught off guard by that.
And Alvin Gentry told him. Yeah, Gentry said in pregame, he told him, they just got thumped. If you think that that team's not coming to thump you, that they're not trying to get over, and then he said in postgame, he's like, and if this Kings team doesn't think that the Lakers want some revenge from the triple overtime, mm-hmm. like, then you don't know the NBA. Like, yeah. You better be ready, and if you're not ready, you're going to keep getting hit. And so, again, this team, you hear them say, yeah, we got hit hard in the first quarter and we didn't respond. Okay, why not? We hear that we didn't, but why did you not do it? Why did you not do? Why did you do the same thing you do every game? How come you didn't step up? And that's going to be the bigger problem that Alvin Gentry has. How do you draw that out of a team? How do you demand it that they're tough and that they push back? And I'm not sure that you can. You know, like tough guys. We all want De'Aaron Fox to be something that he's not as a leader, as the vocal head of the, you know, snake. But at the same time, this is the same thing. You know, everyone wants, you know, specific guys on this team to be tough guys. Well, you know, some of these guys just are never going to be tough guys, and that's okay. They don't have that in them.
Remember when Mike Tyson knocked out Trevor Burbick and Burbick kept trying to get up and he just kept falling down? Like, that's the Kings. Like, they're trying to get up, but they don't have their legs underneath them, and they just keep falling over. That's what the Kings are year after year after year. They're the opponent of Mike Tyson in the mid-80s, trying to get back to their feet and just continuously getting knocked back down.
Well, and then they're also, they're the lifeline lady for like 8-game stretches. They are.
This side like, falling, I can't get up.
I mean, that's where they are at some point. Like, you're right. At least someone's trying to get off the mat and trying to show you that they're not done. That's not what we have seen here in the last 3 weeks.
You want to work in a Wendy's Where's the Beef reference before we get out of here? Any more mid-80s references we could work in? That's James Hamm. Make sure you check out the Kings Beat. Make sure you check out the Kings Beat podcast. There are rumors that the Kings Beat YouTube channel is on the way as well. James will be back with us covering the Sacramento Kings as the week rolls along.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.